Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, this is the third word, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own house. Tragically, I just participated in the funeral of a young woman, Jamie McSorley, a couple weeks ago, who at age 28 died much too young. Probably one of the most agonizing parts of the experience was having to call the mother and to tell the mother that we just found your daughter and she has passed away. Equally devastating was the experience at the funeral and watching Jamie's parents, siblings, and other loved ones, just watching them mourn and watching them just possess such painful heartbreak, the loss of someone so young. This just shouldn't be. Parents are not supposed to reside at the death or burial of their children. It just seems unfair. Perhaps one of the most heart-wrenching scenes at the crucifixion was the scene of a mother named Mary watching her son in excruciating pain. Parents should never have to be witnesses of such horrors. How many of you parents have children who broke an arm or broke a leg or had to care for your child who had the flu or something worse? Man, it is exhausting. Your heart rate is just off the charts. And all the while, you're probably thinking or wishing that it was you experiencing that pain or that sickness and not your child. I'm just not sure anything I could say or describe could ever capture how Mary felt at the foot of the cross, beneath the cross of her son. It's one thing to experience the trauma of witnessing something harrowing for a friend or someone you may know, but when it comes to a child, we have just traveled into a whole other stratosphere of emotion and feelings. You don't mess with family. Blood is thicker than water. If you want to get to my family, you will have to go through me. Don't ever let me find out that you did something to my family, or I will. And think about it. Jesus had a lot to say about family. He had a lot to say about family throughout his ministry and throughout his teaching. Take, for instance, this teaching in the Gospel of Luke, or this incident in chapter Luke, chapter 14, verse number 25. It says, "Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, 'Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple.'" Well, it's not what I expected. There was this time that there were some disciples, and Jesus said to one, he was talking to a disciple, and he said to one, this is Luke chapter 9, he says, "Follow me." But that disciple said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." I mean, that's a duty that children have and we need to do. And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Okay, he had a lot to say about family. Maybe that's not what we need to talk about today. Let's go to another spot. Let's not focus on what he said. You know, don't do as I say, do as I do. Let's focus on his interactions with his family. Here is a scene from the early years. Jesus was about 12 years old, and the family went to Jerusalem for the Passover, you know, family affair, and they're traveling several miles to this Passover meal in Jerusalem. There were thousands and thousands of people, and Mary and Joseph probably told Jesus, "Hey, you need to stay nearby. You've gone on trips and gone to crowds, amusement parks, and you've told your young children, hey, you need to stay nearby." You know, days before cell phones, you know, you had to stay nearby. Well, after the festival, they started to go back home, and Jesus stayed back without telling his family, and the family there, they're almost home, and they realize, like, "Oh no, where's Jesus?" It's kind of reminiscent of, remember that movie Home Alone? And remember, "Kevin!" Can you imagine getting so far away? You're like, "Jesus, where's Jesus?" Or Yeshua, he's Hebrew. Where is he? They go back to Jerusalem, and they find Jesus teaching in the temple. This is from Luke chapter 2. It says, "When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, 'Child, why have you treated us like this?'" That's actually really kind. I can't even imagine if that happened and that was my mother talking to me. I'm probably not here preaching. "Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, this is a 12-year-old Jesus, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Okay, we're not doing well here. I'm trying to establish like what Jesus said about family, his teachings, his interactions. There we have a child seemingly disrespecting his folks. Let's just chalk that up to kids being kids. I mean, that's what kids do. He was 12. Come on, let's give him a break. What about as an adult? I mean, there was a time his siblings went looking for him, and at the time, Jesus was a grown-up, and he was sitting and teaching a crowd. This is from Mark chapter 3, verse number 32. It says, "A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?'" Are looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brothers and my sister and mother." Okay, sibling rivalry. Let's just chalk that up. I mean, one last one. My last attempt to demonstrate that when it came to family, Jesus' actions are the gold standard. In the Gospel of John, there is a wedding, and they've run out of wine. That's a huge deal. And for whatever reason, Mary goes to her son Jesus, who's at this wedding, and asks him to do something about it. The mother said to Jesus, this is John chapter 2, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." Okay, I give up. Maybe as some theologians have pointed out, when it comes to the way we see family, Jesus doesn't do family well. But here's the key to that statement. When it comes to the way we see family, Jesus doesn't do family well. Now, given this interesting look at Jesus' interactions with his family and the way we see family, let's go back to the foot of the cross And there beneath the cross of Jesus is the woman who frantically looked for her son in Jerusalem. There is the woman who Jesus seemed to rebuff along with her other children and his siblings when they were looking for him. And there is the woman who, when she approached Jesus to fix the wine problem, Jesus seemed to speak disrespectfully to his mom. Yet considering these interactions, it may be hard to miss this mother's deep love and care for her son, in spite of these opaque responses by Jesus. After the incident where Jesus was lost when he was a 12-year-old, the text says that Mary treasured these things in her heart. After Jesus says, "My time has not come," at the wedding where she wanted him to fix the wine problem, Mary still instructs everyone, "Hey, pay attention to everything he says and do whatever he tells you to do." Church, don't get it twisted. Mary loves her son, Jesus, and Jesus loves his mother. And Jesus recognized from an early age that he was sent to this earth to do big things, cosmic things, global things. And Jesus was sent to turn this world upside down. And in doing so, it would have ramifications on the entire universe and every inhabitant on this earth. And maybe when it comes to the way we see family, Jesus' words from the cross helps to put it in better perspective. The incidents on Jesus, it helps us to put in perspective his incidents with his own family. And maybe his words to his own family and the words from the cross, when you put them together, when you put him in proper perspective, maybe it is a call for us to expand the definition of family. So hear the word of Jesus again from the cross. "Woman, here is your son." And then to the disciple, "Here is your mother." Church, that's a direct word received by the disciple, the text says, whom Jesus loved. That's a term that would be used later on as well. We presume that disciple to be the apostle John. John, from that point, we are blessed with the report right after Jesus says his word that John took the mother into his house and presumably took care of her for the rest of her life. Jesus' third word from the cross is a word that has a definitive directive such that it prompted John to become a caregiver for Mary. Yet Jesus' third word also casts a larger net in search for ears and hearts to respond to a call to serve and care for one another. In the first three statements, we see Jesus' words drawing attention away from his own pain and speaking directly to the needs of others. Forgive them, because people are sinful and they need forgiveness. "You will be with me in paradise," because the plight of this current situation is so painful, and paradise offers what we need, comfort and joy. And then he says, "Here is your son, and here is your mother," which is a way of saying, take care of one another. Take care of each other, because in this life, we are ill-equipped if we think we can do life alone. Jesus' word from the cross crushes the notion that Jesus didn't care about family. Jesus' word from the cross challenges our understanding of family. Jesus' word from the cross proposes that we live our lives with our eyes and hearts fixed on the heart of God and fixed on taking care of one another. This is why we serve. This is why we serve one another. And this completely harmonizes with the life of Jesus. who said this in Mark chapter 10, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Greatness is not measured by how much money you have or how much power you have or how much prestige you have or how much power you have. Greatness is the result born out of taking care of one another. The Apostle Peter, who followed Jesus, who heard Jesus talk about serving, and perhaps heard Jesus speak this third statement from the cross, he wrote, "Above all, maintain constant love for one another." This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. "For love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another." Take other people into your homes without complaining. "Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received." As recipients of God's love and God's grace, we are to be stewards of that gift. This is not for us to hoard it and keep it for ourselves, but to be good stewards. We don't own it, but we're to use it to serve and to be a blessing to others. Serving one another includes taking care of one another, as Jesus directed his disciple from the cross to take care of his mother. Say this third word with me. It's on the screen. "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." Years ago, I served as the youth minister here at this church, and had a great number of kids. And listen, when you're the youth minister and you're ministering to families, you are invited into a lot of families. Dynamics and dysfunction and struggles. And I remember there was this one family that had a teenager, a young man who he's pretty troubled. I remember it was about 3:00 in the morning and my doorbell rings. Now, that is never good. I don't, you know, unless you know you're expecting some out-of-town guests and they're going to arrive at 3:00 a.m. But if you're not expecting anyone and you get a doorbell ring at 3:00 a.m, that can never be good. I go to the door and it is this young man with his father. And his father said, "This has been a rough day. It has been tough and we are really struggling. And I'm bringing him here. He needs to stay tonight with you." Okay, come on in. And the father, as soon as the young man stepped in my house, the father literally got in his car and drove away. And the young man came and sat down on my couch, and I sat down on an adjacent sofa, and I said, "How are you?" the father, like, essentially said to me, "Here is your son." He stayed the night, and we stayed up talking. I didn't take offense to that, though. You know why? Because as a youth minister, I spoke several times with the family, and I said, "Listen, I'm here to serve you. And there are going to be times that things are going to get rough, and it's going to get tough. And when you need me, call me." I don't say that if you don't really mean it, church. There will be people who will take you up on it if you really meant it. And I guess all these years later, it really just touches my heart that parent believed me when I said, "I want to serve your family." When we lived in Lansing, Michigan, we had some good friends, Shana and Daryl, and they were newlyweds, and I was the youth minister there, and the preacher left, and I kind of started serving a role as the minister, and so a lot of people called on me for several things, and during that time, Daryl and Shana had a miscarriage really late in her term, and it was a really painful time for them, and I remember meeting them at the hospital and spending the day with them and grieving with them in the chapel at the hospital. Never forget that. Years later, though, they were blessed to have another child, And this new child just cried all the time, cried and cried and cried, and just was not sleeping well, like a month old, and just would not. And as parents, they weren't getting any sleep, and they were stressed out, and they were. So one night, they showed up at the door of some other friends of ours with their baby packed up with all, you know, bottles and a pack-away crib. And they came to their house. It was like 2 a.m. And they said, "Listen, y'all, we have not slept in weeks. We are stressed out. And we're afraid of what might happen if we spend another night with our child." I know that you're looking at me like, how could anyone ever say? And they said, "Could you please keep the baby for the night so we can go home and go to sleep?" And the friend said, "Absolutely." You know, there are families that have like shaken their babies and done something horrible to their babies because of the stress level and because of the, you know. But here's a family that trusted another family so much so that they said, "For that night, here is your child." And as I reflect back on that, I think that's a wonderful picture of the family of God, such that we can go to each other in moments like that and say, "I need you to help take care of me." I know we live in a world, we live in a world where we just like to do things on our own and figure things out on our own. But the call in the kingdom of God is that sometimes we just can't do it. And we need other people to help take care of us. That's just what we do. We live in a time and space where the word freedom is a big word. It's a word that we possess and we love and we celebrate it. We sing songs about it. While we often reflect on freedom granted to us as citizens in this country, the freedom that has grand implications on us is our freedom in Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Galatians chapter 5. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." I think there is so much in Jesus' third word. Here is your mother. Here is your son. I think that call to take care of one another is not limited to that scene beneath the cross of Jesus. It is a call to each and every one of us that claim to be Jesus followers, to not use this freedom in Christ to be self-indulgent, to be selfish, but as stewards of God's grace, being a blessing to one another, using our freedom in Christ to serve one another. It makes absolute sense that the spiritual discipline that we want to indulge in or participate in this week in response to this third word of Jesus is service. Spiritual discipline of service. It's the spiritual discipline of finding ways to serve our families, our physical families, our spiritual families, our community. You know, I've been having this conversation with my brother, my blood brother, my brother Bobby, Robert. We talk almost every day. And you know, several times there's just a conversation about the indifference that goes on in our world and why we just dislike each other so much, and you know, talking about racism and why some white folks don't like black folks and some black folks don't like white folks and why some Americans don't like that country and why that country don't like that country. And as believers in God, like, we all believe that we all came from, like, Adam. Like, we all came from the same person. Like, we're all connected. Why do we hate each other so much? It would seem if we spent more time thinking about how connected we are, it would lead to us wanting to serve one another and take care of one another and make sure that everyone's well-being is secured rather than my well-being over your well-being. And as soon as we start thinking my well-being over your well-being, we start fighting. We start having wars. We start disliking each other. We start talking about each other. We start tearing each other down. We're in a global pandemic. You would think that's something to bring the world together, but no, we're steadfast in our indifference. The Alum Creek Church of Christ did something last week. Alum Creek Church of Christ, my good friend Adam Metz, they did something. Can you pull up that screen? This is their property up at Alum Creek. And they say, you know what, why don't we make a memorial and make a space where people in the community all over Central Columbus, Central Ohio can come up to and just kind of visualize what we are experiencing during this global pandemic. And so they set up flags, and if you see the sign there, you know, blue flags represents all the people who have died worldwide, and the yellow flags represent all the lives that have, you know, died in the United States, and the red flags in Ohio. Go to the next picture. You can see maybe a bigger picture of all the flags on their property. And they're just going to leave this up, and folks can come and see, and perhaps, you know, you've lost a loved one. You can just kind of go and see that this isn't a pandemic that just impacts a couple people on the planet. It impacts the entire globe. Like, we're connected. And maybe if we stop thinking about how I can get over and how I can succeed and start thinking about how we can succeed and how we can beat this together, we start really responding to the word of Christ, who says, here's your mother, here's your son, take care of one another. Church, I want us this week, in response to the word of Jesus from the cross, to pray to God to just illuminate our hearts and our minds on ways that we can serve locally, statewide, nationally, internationally. Think of ways that you can serve right in your neighborhood. It snowed the past couple of weeks. I hate snow. I'm imagining that there are a lot of people who hate it. I mean, it looks pretty, like to play in it, but when you got to shovel the driveway, every time I go outside and I shovel, I always shovel my neighbor's sidewalk. It's just what I do to serve my neighbor. It's nothing huge. Just shovel the drive. Just shovel their sidewalk. We share the sidewalk. Like, just shovel the sidewalk. There's so many ways locally that we can just take care of one another. Nationally, how many people have friends, family in the South in Texas that have been, you know, suffering the bad weather? There's probably some ways that we can help out some people nationally. Hey, can I send you a gift card to go somewhere to get, you know, if they have any supplies, or hey, can we ship something down to you? I know it's internationally. We've been blessed to have a relationship with missionaries in Guyana and Honduras and other places. And there's just ways that we can just take care of one another. The notion that we're just supposed to look out for number one is just a bad notion, and it's not the notion that Jesus left us with when he said, here is your mother and here is your son. The reason we take communion every week is a celebration of what Christ did for us and a reminder that we're to continue to do for one another. Amen. So this week, I pray that you would respond through service, that you will find ways to serve your sisters and brothers, to serve your neighbors, to serve your community, to serve your state, to serve the country, to serve the world. Maybe it's by going up to Alum Creek and visiting that memorial and just soaking it all in. And it just gives you some motivation to think more connectedness with the rest of the world. Invite the praise team up as we sing this next song. It's a song called Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And there is a couple of lines in it that really takes us back to the cross. It takes us back to that moment where Jesus says, here's your son, here's your mother. Take care of each other. We are the family of God. While we're singing this song, if the family of God can be a blessing to you through prayer, through conversation, by touching you, by talking with you, by being with you during a moment where you are carrying a heavy burden that is not meant for you to carry by yourself, but for us to share the carry of that burden. Now, church, parents, I don't want y'all bringing your kids in my house. But if you need to, I guess you're going to have to just bring your kids to my house. If you need something, maybe you just need to ask for it. Maybe we need to stop thinking that we can just do this by ourselves. Hear this word from Jesus. Here's your mother. Here's your son. Here's your son. Here's your mother. And let's serve. If there's any way that the church can be a blessing to you, come share if you're online in the chat section, in the prayer section. If there's any way that we can be helpful to you, come as we sing this song.